This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring training started in February. I believe I told you guys that we needed to see our players improve. You know, those are the young players or the veterans that we have here. That's how an organization gets better, is the young players, when they come in year in and year out, they have to show signs of improvement. We have to improve as an organization year in and year out. And, you know, for us, it is a stepping stone. I mean, look, this organization hasn't been to the postseason in a very long time.
Miami Vice music. Wow. Throwback machine. It's Mully and Haw, The Score. And we're delighted to welcome in Todd Hollinsworth. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Todd, always great to talk to you. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Todd.
It's so good to be with you guys. Good morning. Great to be with you.
Do you just drive around in a convertible with that music blaring? Is that what happens?
Well, it is certainly a way down here. I will say that. I mean, it's been eye-opening, you know, after nearly 20 years in Chicagoland to be in Miami for the last four. It's eye-popping. There is a lot of Miami Vice down here.
Well, Todd, the last time the Marlins were playing against the Cubs in the postseason, you were in a Marlins uniform, so you remember it well. Unfortunately for everyone in Chicago, they do too. What prevents how fluky will this series be? What do you expect for the Marlins and the Cubs?
Well, I mean, you know, I think of both teams. I mean, and listen, this probably goes for, you know, all of these wild card series. I mean, remember, the dynamics are so different than anything we've seen, and I think we're going to actually see this play out as the postseason, you know, carries on. You'll start to kind of pick up on some of this stuff. I mean, you're playing three consecutive games. There's no, you know, there's no breakers. You know, there's no gaps. There's no off days, and so there's no travel. You know, a lot of times momentum can be gained or lost in those days. I've seen it a million times. I've seen it in the postseason. At the same time, you know, game one for me is probably going to be imperative, really, for everybody, because you're going to get rolling and you get to kind of call the shots as this thing unfolds. And it's a short series. So, you know, whoever wins today is really going to have the upper hand moving forward. I mean, it seems pretty obvious, but, you know, even if you find a way to win game two and you're the team that lost game one, I still think the game one winner has the ability to call the shots, because you probably game planned your roster a little bit better because your back's not against the wall already. So, it's going to be fun. I think it's very, very interesting. The Marlins are just, they're stacked at the top of their rotation. They've got power arms, power righties. And if they don't get handled, they have a chance to win baseball games. This is an offense that's probably a little under the radar for most people right now. They've played much better on the road, whatever that's worth, than they have at Marlins Park. But and that's kind of what it really comes down to, is that the Marlins are very, very confident in their way. They're very confident in who they are, and they feel like nobody around baseball on the national scene really gives them a whole lot of respect. And I'll tell you, that's the chip we carried around in our back pocket in 03, so it's a familiar position to be in.
And obviously, we'll see this afternoon, Sandy Alcantara, who he went through the COVID-19, right? He had a positive test and missed 3 weeks of the season. Still led the team with quality starts, I believe 6 quality starts. But you know, we saw here in Chicago, Yoan Moncada talk about he had a rough season. He started the season with COVID-19. He said that he lost so much energy and that he still feels kind of sluggish. How has Sandy avoided that, and how has he managed to excel in the wake of that?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I think the Sandy story is probably a really good one. He came back, and I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I have not seen anything different with Sandy since, you know, coming back from the COVID list and, you know, coming back from being away from the team. He came back with, I mean, he looked awesome. Not his first start back, but his second start. And you know, Sandy's the kind of guy who, it seems to me, and I'll give you a couple of examples. His first start back, he didn't do very well against Tampa. Then he ended up facing Tampa in the next start. And all of a sudden we saw Sandy, who was sitting at 94-96 in the first inning, was at 98-100 in the second start in the first inning. And Sandy can maintain that. I mean, that's the one thing that our guys really, really do well, is that they've got the velocity and they can kind of keep it going for seven innings. It's not like it's, you know, you'll see it in the first and you won't see it again, you know, the rest of the night. But I think for Sandy specifically, the other thing that I would touch on, the best thing that's happened to him is Sixto Sanchez. I'll be honest, it really has been so interesting to watch, you know, two young men, two very, very capable, soon-to-be stars on the national level, kind of compete for the attention that they deserve. And I think for Sandy, who was our all-star in 2019, for all the good that he has done, for all the stepping up that he has done, he is incredibly hard on himself. He expects the world of himself. Sixto showed up, and everybody, you know, nationally started to fall in love with Sixto Sanchez and his ability to pitch, his comparisons to Pedro Martinez. The story's a fun one, and he's a very talented young man as well who hits 100 miles an hour. But Sandy's like, what about me? And so since Sixto got here, it's almost as if you see the fire in his eyes and those quality starts you're talking about. I believe they're consecutive, and they are actually leading into today's start. He's been much better at the end of the season than he was even at in the beginning. It's just been a real solid year for him. But that's what I would say. I think Sixto Sanchez is probably the number one reason that I will say this. I don't think he would tell you this, but the number one thing that drives him is just the fact that there's somebody competing for the top spot in our rotation, and both of them want it really badly.
And Todd, that is such a key to this series. If the Marlins find a way somehow to get to Kyle Hendricks today, you wonder, is Sixto Sanchez going to be the Game 2 starter? Has that been made official? And along those lines, in terms of availability, Starling Marte had an injury on the last day of the season. Will he be available today?
Yeah, those are great questions. I don't know the answers to them at all. I'm in Florida, have not been able to travel with the team. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is just kept under wraps up right up until game time. But, my guess is that, and again, just merely my opinion, not speaking from what I know, I don't know anything. I think that you're probably pretty close to right on with what you're talking about. And I think Starling absolutely wants to be a part of this, unless there's a reason that I'm completely unaware of and I haven't heard anything, but I don't know for sure. You know what I mean? So can't be held to that. But at the same time, Marte's been a huge part of what we've accomplished this year. And I really think that he's a big part of this, and I don't think that he wants to miss it unless he absolutely has to.
You know, you look at the numbers here of the Marlins offense, and it's pretty remarkable how they have used kind of hit and run and stolen bases.
Yeah.
They've employed this brand of baseball we don't see a lot.
That's right, man. I'm telling you, it's refreshing. I've had friends from Chicago. I've had friends from around the country, you know, reach out and, hey, man, we just, you know, we were watching you guys tonight, and you guys play a different brand of baseball, and it's kind of refreshing to watch. Listen, it doesn't always work, but it is fun, and it is who they are, and they proudly, you know, go about their business this way. I was just telling some people, I think it was yesterday, you know, even the last series against the mighty Yankees. Yeah, that's where the Marlins wrapped up, and they took two or three games from the Yankees. Now, the Yankees were running, you know, they were trying to get a home playoff game. The Marlins really were just, you know, playing for seeding in this tournament that's coming up. And, you know, so they had just, you know, wrapped up the second seed in the National League East. So they were really in good shape. It was just a question of who they were going to play, ultimately, the Cubs. But my point is this, you know, with a little bit more of a roughshod offense, lineup, I should say, and that going up against the Yankees A team, they hit and run. They bunted multiple. I think we had three bunts, maybe four sacrifice bunts in the three-game series. We did have, you know, a big three-run home run in there as well. We did keep the Yankees, you know, from hitting too many home runs. But the point is that they ended up taking two of three. And this is like a way that they believe in. They really do. This is who they are. They want to be multi-dimensional offensively, and they see that as a key to their success. They're very opportunistic on the base paths. They do take risks. If you do get to see Monte Harrison, I mean, I'm telling you, this guy runs. I mean, I don't know if he'll get, you know, any ABs, but on the base paths this year, he has just been an absolute wrecking ball. He's stolen third base in a tie ball game late in the ninth inning. I mean, this guy is just, he is one of the fastest guys who's kind of finding his way, but they have weapons that just people haven't heard of yet.
Holly, why has a manager, an old school guy like Dodd Mattingly, who's 59 years old, been such a good fit for this sort of young and upcoming team in the Marlins?
Because he's loved them and he's embraced them from the day he took the job. And, you know, sometimes I think when you manage, obviously at the major league level, you have to manage different ways. I think even as managers, they would tell you they grow up. I mean, they grow too and into the job. And, you know, I've never seen Donnie so passionate, so vibrant, so youthful this year. I mean, he's just like, he's so excited about everything that's been going on with this group. But, you know, he doesn't go in. It's not like, I guess maybe the way that I would say it, I think some people down here really have kind of clung to it, is that, you know, Donnie kind of managed them like a football team. It's very interesting. You know, after they clinched in Atlanta and, you know, knew that they were going to be in, I mean, the way that everything kind of went, I guess it was in New York, but the way that everything kind of went down was that, you know, Donnie came out and, you know, the players were all kind of celebrating on the field, of course, you know, very, you know, restricted. But Donnie kind of, and it's the first time I've ever seen a manager, or really I've ever seen it in baseball, came out. And I don't know, again, I'm you know, we were all here in Miami and they were on the road. But came out of the dugout, you know, when celebrating with everybody. We got to talk to him a little bit on air. And then, you know, he went over to the team and addressed the team. There was like a rally cry. Like he actually said something to them and they responded in unison. Like there was like a saying. And it was like, wow, that's like football-esque. I mean, that's like, hey, we're going to go to war today. We have, you know, it's like, you know, your top player, you know, getting your teammates psyched up for a game. And I kept thinking, man, this is an incredible dynamic that I have never seen in the game of baseball. It's never been addressed this way. And that's, I really do believe that he has taken it upon himself when he signed his extension, I think it was last offseason, to, you know, really embrace the change. I mean, a lot of people were surprised that Donnie was going to come back. I'm not really sure why now. And now it seems clearer to me than ever. And if he's not the National League Manager of the Year, I would be absolutely stunned. I mean, he has just been so good for such a young group. And as weird as that may sound, he was the perfect answer all along.
I know, Todd, that you keep half an eye on the Cubs and are aware of the fact that they've been struggling offensively. Mm. Kyle Schwarber, Baez, Bryant, Bodie, these guys all are hovering around 200 in their batting average. What? How do you see this going? I don't know if you make a pick, but if you can give us like a horse race, you know, how do they start? How do they break? What happens?
Well, I really do believe today is going to tell us an awful lot, because I think that, you know, both teams will end up in a, you know, in a position where their back's against the wall for the next two games, regardless, you know, just because game one is of a three-game series. You get to really call the shots. It's hard for me to look past the Marlins, man. I love what they bring to the table. And because of what you guys just referred to, is that kind of that new offensive approach that you don't see too much. You know, we've had a number of times this season where we've scored, you know, the Marlins, I keep saying we, but the team has scored runs, you know, without even getting, you know, with like one single in an inning, they come up with two runs because there's a fielder's choice, there's an error, they're a very opportunistic ball club, they know what they're looking to do. They don't take, like, if, you know, let me put it this way, if they get a couple of guys thrown out early in the ballgame trying to steal a base, they're not going to stop running. I mean, that's not going to shut them down. That's not who they are. The key for me is when it comes down to the starters for the Marlins, it's who they are. It's what they are. If, in fact, there are starters, Sandy and Sixto and Pablo, if they go out and they're them and they pitch their way, the Marlins are in great shape. They're in great shape against anybody. But if that doesn't happen, if somebody derails that just a little bit, there is some vulnerability there. Now, this offense, it can be, you know, like I said, it's rolling pretty good right now. But, you know, at times it can get a little inconsistent. But they got some power, and they're going to probably surprise some people. I would be... if they don't win one of these games, I would be absolutely shocked. I really do think it's going to at least go to three games.
Oh, scary stuff. Todd, thank you so much. We appreciate it, buddy.
Great talking to you,
absolutely.
Todd.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. You know that. Take care. Stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy the series. It should be a lot of fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.